Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, this is part two of our five-part series on CEOs for sales and sales for CEOs. The objective of this series is to help my CEO friends who have been very successful as their CEO because they started a company, but their background and their experience is not in sales. And so when we look at why is this subject very, very important, it's important because we want to make sure that you understand the psychology of sales in order to get the maximum output from your sales organization. There's a jargon to sales that's very important. There's a nuance to sales that is very important. There is a science behind sales that's very important when you think about performance metrics, when you think about pipelines, and you think about forecasting. It is so important that the CEO leads the way in understanding how the company's sales methodology will be put in practice. What are the key principles behind the sales process? Here at GMG, my consulting firm, and also I'm a professor, adjunct professor at Seton Hall University, we utilize the consultative sales process. I say we, my dear colleague, friend, Mr. John Hoffman, passed away last September, and he and I had been working together, since 1993, almost 30 years together. And he helped me to build my quality sales organizations at Dow Jones, Elsevier, and American Institute of Physics. And the consultative sales process, as we talked about last week, it's very important that the salespeople that you hire, that they want to be helpful. They want to help someone. They want to help their prospect to achieve their financial objectives. They want to make sure that they're there to solve a problem or improve productivity, bring something to bear that will be ultimately useful to your clients. When we're trying to sell our clients something that doesn't have a fit for them, that's when we run into problems. It's so important that when you talk to a client, that you understand what their needs are. There's a very simple process, understanding needs and then describing the features and functionality of your product, good, or service, how it's going to meet those needs, and ultimately, what will be the benefit to them? When I have, it's been my experience, when I'm able to articulate this to a prospect, it makes sense to them because I am solving their needs. My product, good, or service is helping them to achieve productivity. It's helping them to achieve a very specific objective. So it's very important that this is established at the highest level, CEO level, and that this is conveyed to everyone. So let's get started. Last week, we covered a number of good topics. And, you know, I wanted to establish the framework for what does it take to be a professional salesperson and how to develop that expertise. And so it all comes down to, you want to make sure that within your company that you have a process that is efficiently and effectively helps you to plan for calls. You want to make sure that your team is trained in this process, and you always want to refine your sales call execution process. Keep in mind that we always will leverage what I like to call the best practice principle. The best practice principle has three steps to it. Step number one is that you want to understand what is the best practice for a particular topic, event, activity. And then you want to practice the best practice. And then upon practicing the best practice, you want to have a trusted advisor, a trusted mentor who is going to give you very good feedback about how what you did well and what you can do better, what you can work at. And so you want to have a process, a consultative sales process that can be replicated across your organization. So no matter if a customer is talking to one of your sales colleagues, they are pretty much hearing the same song as everyone is singing in the same hymn book. So, you know, so that is very, very important, you know. And then, of course, from a management perspective, you want to make sure that your team understands what your expectations are. You want to make sure that they understand why this consultative sales process is so important for them to follow, so important for them to practice at it, and so important for them to refine. Then it's so important that each of your colleagues, that everyone within your company is what we like to call a trusted advisor. You know, in order to be a trusted advisor, it does require you to demonstrate expertise. And that's going to be in our next lecture, in part three of our five-part series about what does it mean to demonstrate expertise. Demonstrating expertise is not a one-time shot. It does require you to continually grow and learn. You want to be a lifelong learner. You want to be like Albert Einstein. You want to be curious to ask those questions. Why? You know, to ask the questions, well, when did this happen? What happened? When did this happen? Why did this happen? Who did this happen to? Or who did it? When did it happen? How did it happen? You know, just asking very, very curious questions that are open-ended questions and not closed-ended questions. An open-ended question, one is a question that requires you to elaborate, such as, so Mr. Customer, tell me what happened when the particular machine that you were using didn't work. How did that affect your business? That's an open-ended question versus a closed-ended question. A closed-ended question is, did the machine work? Yes or no? You know, it's just, you know, it's just going to give you yes or no. It's like what, it's kind of like the questions that the lawyers ask you in court, you know, yes or no, just answer the question. So we want to build this rapport with our clients so that they feel comfortable to ask us questions. Okay. So as we move along, we talked last week about Amadeus Mozart, Chris Rock, Bill Gates, Tiger Woods, Madame Curie, Albert Einstein, the Beatles. What was the one thing that they all had in common? The one thing that they all had in common was that they all practiced the 10,000 hour rule. Now, they didn't realize that they were practicing the 10,000 hour rule. Malcolm Gladwell, the famous author, he pointed that out in one of his books about how mastery of a particular item takes about 10,000 hours. And even then, you constantly want to refine your skill set. So when you're thinking about putting involved a consultative sales training program, don't make it a one-time shot. Make sure that you give folks an annual review of these best practices, because as you know, a lot of times we start something, 2 weeks later, it's out of sight, it's out of mind. We want to make we want to develop very good daily habits for that. You know, as you know, I want to remind you about the Harvard Business Review story from 2012. That it says that Challey, research group, said that 39% of B2B buyers, they select a vendor according to the skills of the salesperson rather than the price, quality, or service features. And it's a very competitive world out there. So you want to make sure that if your product and another company's product are pretty close in capabilities, close in price, you want your sales executive, your sales representative, your account manager to be able to give you that edge with your prospects for that. We also talked about the consultative sales process framework. It's very fundamental. At the triangle to the left, at the bottom, you have the company's needs. To the bottom right, you have the client's needs. Now, keep in mind that the company's needs is all about being a profitable organization to be an ongoing concern. And what that means is that you want to sell your product, goods, and service at a fair price so that you can make a margin that will allow you to pay all your expenses as well as have a profit for future investment, but also dividends to give out to your shareholders or to yourself if it's your company. Clients' needs is very important. It's a client arbitrarily just doesn't say, I want to buy something. There are some things that they do, but the serious things that require consultative sales process, they are going to do a thorough review of the people that they are working with. They have two or three different vendors. So they want to make sure that the product meets their needs, the product fits their budget, and that the reliability of the product is there as well. And that's in the sales process framework. This is where the salesperson and the client prospect are having a conversation. And there's something called needs orientation. So there's needs orientation, needs identification, and needs resolution. So the needs orientation is where we're having a Q&A with the client to get their perspective on what they're thinking about, what are their needs. Now, before we go into the meeting, we have a process called the pre-call planner. And the pre-call planner is where you develop this sales hypothesis. What is a sales hypothesis? A sales hypothesis is that you believe that your product, good, or service will be right for this client based upon the following attributes. That the product meets their needs, it addresses all of the issues that they have, it fits their budget, and they're in the market for it. And also they have a budget for it. So during this conversation, during this part of the conversation, you are discussing with your prospect, your client, and to confirm what your sales hypothesis is. Also, you want to also make sure that if they answer the question in a certain way with certain information, you want to be able to pick up on that and ask further questions about that particular topic. And this is where you could say, oh, so Mr. Customer, that's very interesting. Could you tell me more important? And tell me, why is that important? And how do you rate the importance of this? This is letting them hear themselves respond to your questions. And then you're taking notes about what they're saying. And then based upon the Q&A, you now have a needs identification. Needs identification is that you and your client simultaneously are really come into grips with, oh, okay, so this is my number one need. This is my number two need. This is my number three need, number four need. And so now you're really confirming your sales hypothesis. And then the needs resolution is where you'll say to the customer, so if I understand clearly, Mr. Customer, that you need the product that you need to have needs to solve this problem, it needs to do this, it needs to do that. Is that correct, Mr. Customer? And Mr. Customer will say, yes, that is correct. And then to say, is there anything else that I might have missed or something else that comes to mind that's important? That's a very good clarifying question to ask, because this is where, just in case if you might have missed something or they might have missed something in their discussion, that was important for them. So the consultative selling process framework is very good as helping you to really determine how you're going to ask, what questions you're going to ask, the hierarchy and order of the questions that you're going to ask. Keep in mind that anytime that there's questions for you to ask, there shouldn't be a question that can be answered off of the basic information that's on their website. Now, you might want to extrapolate off of what you've seen on their website, but you want it to be a very much a thinking question. You know, something else I wanted to share with you is that the golden rule, you know, the golden rule that we've always known is do unto others as they would do unto to you. Well, we want to correct this because we want the golden rule to be is do unto others as they want to be treated. Treat people the way that they want to be treated. That is so important. And in keeping up with our new golden rule, you know, this is why we utilize the consultative sales process, because we want to make sure that we are focused on their needs and not our needs. So when you think about how do you define a consultative sales process, you know, for your client, it's all about, you know, what are the key things that they say on their website? Do they say they want to maintain quality? Do they say they want to provide a great service? Do they say they want ability to grow, ability to invest in new products? You know, it's so important that you understand anything and everything about your prospect and your client. You know, last week we also talked about understanding what the client's view is of their situation and what is their view of a solution. But it's so important for you to hear from your prospect first before you make any assumptions, because your sales hypothesis could be right, but you don't want to assume that it's right. You want to confirm if it's right. And also to be smart enough to know if your sales hypothesis is not correct, after you've heard the information, to correct it based upon what you've learned from your client. So that is just so important. And all of your conversations, whether you realize it or not, you are building the foundation for your value proposition. Your value proposition is just so important. And it's built through every interaction and every question that you have with your prospect. Because if your value proposition isn't good, it's going to make closing very difficult, because they might see that your price is too high, or they feel that your product doesn't address their need. They might feel that you know, you haven't addressed their emotional needs about what they need for their product. And keep in mind that addressing whatever their emotional needs are, that is going to trump a logical want. So selling is more motivation than persuasion. but you want to motivate them in a very positive, constructive way. We want, you know, we don't want to drag the horse to water. We want to make the horse thirsty. And this is why planning and preparation are just so important to the cornerstone of consultative sales. So when we think about consultative sales in a nutshell, it's about finding and solving clients' problems, finding and helping clients to achieve higher productivity, finding and helping clients to solve those different problems. So you have to ask yourselves, what is it that my client needs? How can my product, good, or service make their life better, make their life easier, more effective? And so throughout the series, you want your team to really efficiently planning for calls. You don't want them to, let they say, spend all the time doing research but not getting out there calling. But you do want them to have an effective and efficient way of planning for their calls. And then, of course, what's very important is how do you build relationships in a matter of minutes with someone? How do you establish that rapport? Again, through their call, how are you going to identify your client's needs and verify your sales hypothesis? And then, of course, helping to present the value of your company, your product, good, or service. And of course, gaining commitment for them to move to the next step. So let's look at that next step. Now, in the sales process, there's the planning, there's the first meeting, which includes the opening, and of course the probing and listening. And then of course, selling value. And when I say sell value, it's really educating them through a very solid Q&A so that they understand exactly what their needs are and what are the features of your product, good, or service, and what will be the benefit to them. And then, of course, it comes down to closing for the sale. And sometimes when a proposal is presented, they may have some questions. Or they may have some, you know, they may say, instead of me paying X, I like to pay Y, and this is the reason why. And then, of course, we're going to walk you through how do you handle those particular objections effectively to do the best job that you can do for that. Then, of course, closing shouldn't be a very challenging step. Shouldn't be it shouldn't be stressful. It's a conversation. You know, let me tell you a story. I remember I had gotten very good at selling copiers at Xerox. And what I would do, my prospect was qualified. I had an architect. This was back in 1983. And this was where all the copiers in the market, only a few could copy blue ink. Only a few had reduction on them. We take it for granted now, and only a few would allow you to copy invoice statements. And we had this copier, the 2830, which was quite nice, that could do all of that. And so what I would do, I would bring a brand new copier into a demo, and they would see it was brand new because it was all wrapped up and whatnot. And I would take an invoice statement, which was, I think, 5.5 by 8.5, whatever it was, with blue ink on it. And I would actually reduce it at the same time. So I would make one copy and then show my prospect, and they'll go, wow, that is great. And the next thing I would do, I would say, oh, you know, this is a new copier. I just got it from the warehouse. Where would you like for me to install it? And they would go, oh, over there. Meanwhile, I had the paperwork already filled out, and they would sign the paperwork. And that's what we like to call the alternative close. But there's many more different ways to close. But if you don't set it up correctly, you could get your feelings hurt. but you want to make sure that you're setting it up correctly, whatever type of close that you're going to do. So, and this is something that needs to be practiced. I tell my students and folks that I train that this is the lab, and the lab is tough. The lab is fair. The lab is constructive. The lab is supportive, but it's tough. And going through my sales consultative lab, it's much tougher than any call that you would encounter in the marketplace for that. So again, we talked about the consultative sales process with the planning. And with the planning, you want to establish what are your objectives for the account. What are the needs, the interests? What is your value proposition? What are the vulnerabilities that you might have? You want to understand your company SWOT analysis versus your competition SWOT analysis. You want to understand what is your competitive position, as well as what type of support will you need to be able to fulfill this customer if they did agree to come on board. Now, for your first call, you want to make sure that you establish your agenda. You have your opening with your benefit statement. You want to know what your questioning strategy is. You know, what would be potential pricing for this account? You want to be able to anticipate objections as well. And this is where the pre-call planner is just so important. We're going to talk about next week that first call and how do you establish rapport and a clear objectives stated in the meeting that will allow the customer to feel that you're in this to help them. You're not in this just to sell them another widget or product, good or service that you might have. And you do want to build a genuine, authentic relationship for them. So again, next week, we're going to get into the first call. And just to give you a little sneak peek, the first call is going to be consisted of the greeting, opening the call, whether you're on video or whether you're in person, doesn't matter. You want to establish rapport. You want to give them the value statement, the benefit statement. Mr. Customer, by the end of our meeting today, you're going to have a firm understanding as to how my product, good, or service is going to help you to achieve your strategic objectives. You want to make sure that you have established, or, you know, that they confirm with the agenda. You want to confirm the time that you have with them, because you don't want to assume that you have more time than what they have to give you. So you want to confirm that. And then, of course, you want to transition into your Q&A to start to begin to defend your hypothesis or understand what your hypothesis is all about. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week on Leadership with Darrell W. Gunter. This is the CEO Sales Series, which I'm very excited about because the content that you're hearing today, it will be in my forthcoming book. And it's going to take me a while to write it and get it edited. But I think it's going to allow me to utilize the life work of myself and my dear deceased friend, John Hoffman, about something that we wanted to do together. So I want to wish you to have a great weekend, but remember, leadership begins with you. Take care.